Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio numbered 439. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Not too much, Kevin. Just sorry if I'm a little lethargic. I just woke up after that Gable and Benjamin promo.
They are certainly not the most electrifying duo.
No, they are not. No charisma, no chemistry together. I don't believe... Maybe he can still jump high every once in a while, but I don't believe Shelton Benjamin has shown any passion in his work in the last 10 years. I don't get them. I don't get them together.
Well, they still haven't given them a reason to be together.
No.
You know, even the other kind of goofy teams, like, the Ascension, you kind of get it. I guess, you know, you're supposed to assume that it's just because they were collegiate wrestlers that it's all good. But, they haven't even really presented that, honestly. But, like, you kind of know why Brizongo's together. The Usos kind of make sense. Even Rusev Day kind of has more of a backstory than those jokers.
It's just not good. Kind of like this episode of SmackDown just lacked anything of note.
Well, it kind of cracked me up that to me both shows had a lot of very similar things happen. Especially in, I wasn't thinking about, why did I just brain fart on who the hell we were talking about? Benjamin and Gable. I wasn't thinking about that, because the tag team titles... Trying to think, what are they doing? Yeah, that wasn't part of my equation. Because they're doing something completely goofy there on Raw with that. I was trying to remember what it is without talking about it. Oh man, okay. It's just really noticeable, too, right now, because New Day and the Usos could hold their own. Like, you could say that you liked the Usos better than New Day, but it wasn't like the Usos were carrying them to great confrontations or anything of that nature. Like, it was definitely a give-and-take relationship, which... kind of it points out when things aren't that good together.
Right, yeah. No. These two Abel and Benjamin, you know, they are not the New Day. That's an understatement. And the Usos didn't even appear on tonight's show, so they didn't get to sprinkle, you know, their magic over that segment at all. It's just kind of a nothing happening show, and you know, fast forward into the whole main event situation. If Owens and Zayn win, are they really going to be allowed to be co-champions? No one challenged that when they said it.
Well, they have mentioned it a couple of times. Because they did mention it in the main event before I turned off the sound, that they'd be the first co-champions. So like, they're definitely going along with it, and it does give the match. Like, it's kind of weird. The handicap match where you have to tag in and out is always a little strange to me. I don't know why. Like, I guess I always think of a handicap match being an actual 2-on-1.
Right.
Not kind of a 2-on-1. Because Honestly, as a single competitor, you can work the tag in and out situation better than a true 2-on-1.
Right.
It's still not to your benefit in any way, but it is a little bit easier of a situation.
No, it is true. Yeah, but you actually do have certainly have more of a chance that way to separate the two and keep the other man out of his own corner.
Yeah. Where was I going then after that? Why am I losing my train of thought so much? I guess the co-champions kind of sprinkles something weird and interesting on this equation as to how the match will play out. Because even in I guess that's what I was trying to get to. Usually, even in a 2-on-1 situation, at some point, one guy turns on the other because they want the title. You know, if they're gonna go along with this whole co-champions thing, like, it changes the dynamic of the match as it plays out. Like, Sami Zayn won't get jealous that Kevin Owens is going to be the one to make the pin. Or more likely, it would be Sami Zayn going to make the pin and then Kevin Owens becoming jealous.
Yeah, no. That doesn't appear to be how they're playing it. Granted, they still have two more weeks to make it clear that, no, this is not how this is going to happen. No, there is no such thing as co-champions.
Oh, right.
But it didn't seem like it tonight, and you'd think that would have been the first thing Shane McMahon would have made very clear when he interrupted them at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, and Shane McMahon did have plenty of time on TV to explain that, but it did not happen at all. So, yeah, I. Because is Fastlane actually SmackDown's next pay-per-view?
Yes, it is. Yeah, they've got Fastlane in early March, yeah.
Yeah, so they still have a whole lot of time until a pay-per-view. It's just kind of, they're going to have to stretch a lot of stuff out or kind of do multiple feuds in a fairly long time period, honestly.
No, yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, because Fastlane's actually, I think it's late even. I think it's like something like the 11th.
I'm gonna have to check my calendar.
Because I know Raw is in Detroit the next night. I don't remember where SmackDown is on the 13th, but that's immaterial. But yeah, I think that SmackDown's got Fastlane on March 11th, which only puts you at 4 weeks between that and WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, there's kind of a lot that they're working on, like, and it's almost all long term stuff, which those shows interesting. But it certainly doesn't help.
There's a longer space of time between the Royal Rumble and Fastlane than Fastlane and WrestleMania. That makes no sense at all.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is really strange. That should never be that way. Like that.
No, because SmackDown's going to really have to, you know, really push their WrestleMania half of the lineup, hard and they're going to be against time constraints to really hype their biggest stuff. Although I could see the biggest stuff being Raw focused as it can tend to be on these joint shows.
Oh yeah, SmackDown still is the B show, despite I'm not sure if I enjoy it more these days or not.
Certainly not this week. This week was a very down week for SmackDown. SmackDown doesn't really have much else going on beyond, everyone declaring themselves for the Rumble and the main storyline, which kind of got put. I don't know how much more there is to advance the storyline. It's just this match is happening. Daniel Bryan made the match, without Shane's approval.
But Shane's okay with it.
They've got this tenuous relationship with Shane and Daniel Bryan, and the participants in the championship match are in the middle of it. And it's gonna reach its crescendo at the Royal Rumble. But between now and then, there's not that much you can do, like what they did tonight, which was kind of a paint by numbers type of deal. Oh. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in their own handicap match.
Oh, right. Yeah, so they can just keep on doing the tit for tat for a while longer here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they've just they've got a long time frame to fill out, and it's I think that you can tell. With the storytelling, and yeah, there's just going to be competing storylines. Like, it's going to be tough for them to sort through things, or it's just going to be a lot of feuds carried over from Fastlane, which would kind of suck for them.
I'm not sure about that. It just depends on what their ideas are. I don't necessarily think it'll be storylines carried over. Well, it would be essentially carried over from this Rumble to Fastlane period, whatever they build up. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they're, because at least Raw has the Elimination Chamber, and whichever show doesn't have their guy win, or their girl for that matter, win the Royal Rumble, they've at least got that.
And they haven't really... I don't feel like they've touched on the possibility of people jumping brands winning that, or if they have to use it within their brand.
Yeah, no, they never... On this go around of the blank brand split, they have not made that clear. I mean, last year, it was just Randy Orton just faced the SmackDown, the WWE champion on SmackDown, and of course they did a crazy storyline to get there with him giving up the title shot and then taking it back and then having to beat AJ Styles for it. Sorry if I'm reminding you of all that.
This is why I forgot what happened.
Randy Orton burned Bray Wyatt's house down.
Well, I was reminiscing about him wearing pants in a limo the other day, so I kind of remember that part at least. His feat of strength of toppling a refrigerator onto Bray Wyatt, not as cool as Braun Strowman pulling down the rigging on Raw.
That was be still my beating heart, Braun. Oh, I love that man.
I have never, I laugh every time I talk to Jeremy, just because of how much fawning he does over Braun Strowman. It gets a little scary at sometimes. Think he has a little too much of a man crush on him. everything they do with that guy It's just like, again, like how is this not cool? Like it was, you know, like he yanks down the entire set of Raw to trap his two opponents to cut to make a point. Like the guy just keeps on whooping everyone's ass and doing cool stuff while doing it. It's just like, ah, oh man, how do you like? It's how not to love that guy.
No, you can't not love Braun. He's amazing. He did again, another amazing feat of strength. And good on Brock for taking the initial heave into the into the wall with all the
construction
crates and through the table. That was pretty hellacious.
Yeah, he got thrown like a lawn dart, man, and he went with it. I thought it was pretty clear that they were safe from any true striking of the set.
But I watched it fall. What are you talking about? No. I just want to know if they did that live. Did Braun Strowman hook that in the first shot on his first try live? I imagine it's probably taped earlier, but I want to know if that was live or if he really did hit. Get it on the first try.
Yeah, that's the most impressive part. It isn't him pulling it down because you know that he's freakishly strong and like. Anything that he could pull off, I'm like, I'm not really surprised. It's still cool. I'm not really surprised.
If
he used a grappling hook and one took it live on TV, he is definitely a monster among men.
Who
should
uses
go
a grappling hook anymore? I mean, how do you even know how to do it? How do you know how to throw one? Do they really use? Is that really part of the of their production equipment and tools? Is there really a use for that? Backstage at a WWE show in 2017.
I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, they certainly had one around for Braun Strowman to use. I don't know if they had to run out to a climbing store nearby. But, you know, it...
No, I mean, they got so much. I wonder what they're going to... Brock's still, I think, a pretty good favorite to win that match, but...
Oh.
And I hope they got something good for... If they don't change their mind, I hope they got something good for Braun. Which I guess as of, after Survivor Series, it looked like Triple H, which is good enough. I mean, I think if Braun gets Triple H at WrestleMania, I think that's sufficient. It's not in the title picture.
Yeah. I mean, that's it'll be a feature match.
Yeah, it'll have to be.
You know, I don't think anyone's career. It's kind of like when everyone was the AJ Styles Shane McMahon thing. You know, it's kind of a similar vein. Like, if you get Triple H, you're doing pretty good for yourself. You know, it might not be the main event, but you're kind of upper card.
Right. But man, I wouldn't blame them if they made a switch. I wouldn't at all. I mean, Braun's the man. He's the monster among men.
Yeah, and he's there week in and week out, which there are some things like, obviously, Brock Lesnar is a freak athlete. But when you they keep on coming up with creative ways to keep Braun Strowman interesting, and they do a great job. You know, and it's something that I think it does help. Like, while I don't hate the concept of the champion being on just, you know, every few shows, sometimes having them on the show all the time, you know, it's been done more often than not because it helps professional wrestling. You know, maybe it works in a real fighting environment. You know, to not have someone defend their belt literally every other week. But in the world of make pretend wrestling, the champions defend their belts far more often, and you know, Braun Strowman would be there to do that.
Yeah, he absolutely would. I mean, I do think they're gonna. I do think that they're gonna, you know, keep everything on Brock like they have. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. That's what we're talking about. It would be an interesting way to go about things. It would be a good, you know, you could certainly do a lot with Braun as champion.
Yeah. I mean, Kane's still around, and there is always a rematch with Lesnar because they had a good first match. I wouldn't argue with a second match at WrestleMania.
No, I wouldn't argue with it at all. There's, you know, other directions you can go, other people can have a face. Yeah, no, but no, I mean, they've just got something here, and we've seen in the past. You can wait too long to have him win the big one.
No.
This would be the second time he's... Even if Kane takes the pin, it's still the second time Braun's through. Third if you count SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And YouTube, can we look at SummerSlam?
And I'm not sure if this is maybe a proper comparison, but you mentioned, like, waiting too long to give someone the belt. Like... I remember with Bray Wyatt thinking, I'm like, okay, really? Like, you decided to do this now? You know, it kind of felt like the ship had sailed on that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, it definitely did. It was definitely, it was just a weird look with him with the championship and that whole thing, his title reign, the feud with Orton, it's going down the annals as a failure. Granted, I don't know if there were other times where it was right for Bray Wyatt to be the champion. I really don't think there was.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess they are just been they have issues with. Creatively with other people for sure, but they know how to book Braun Strowman.
Oh. Yes.
They know how to have him come back from whatever few losses he's had, whatever moments where he's looked weak and been beaten to end, was ended up being beaten down. He always comes back. Mentioned many times, he always comes back stronger. He always gets it back.
Right. So yeah, I mean they haven't booked someone that well in a long time, and they just continue to book him really well, which is why it is a shame. Like you said, even if Kane takes the loss. You know, you're still kind of left without Braun Strowman winning the title.
Right. But if once again he dumps right into his, you know, his next storyline, and And especially with Triple H, you know, you can he can recover well. I don't think that, you know, I don't think he'd be finished if he doesn't win his championship at the Royal Rumble. No. He'll still do really well, and you know, but there will come a time when it's just like you got to pull the trigger with this guy. And I know that they have tunnel vision with Roman Reigns.
Oh.
We'll see what happens with all that. I mean, they go with him again. Especially him and Brock again. We'll see what happens. Part of me that feels like Ron's the guy. Ron should be the guy.
He's just killing it. You know, there isn't a reason not to root for this guy, and the crowds have caught on. Like, I mean, they were cheering him pulling down the set. You know, of course, there was the moment of amazement, but you know, everyone loved it. I mean, you would hope that would come to some type of productive end with a title reign.
Yeah, you definitely would. I mean, they've put so much into this. Like, they know they have something, but they also feel that they've invested so much into Roman Reigns, too. And it's like, which way do you go? I'm still... You know, I think we know the answer to that question.
I think most people within this site would lean to the same side.
Yeah,
but given a choice,
something so more genuine and organic with Ron, and I do think it could have been explored. Brock and Braun should never have touched after SummerSlam. Braun should have been the guy. Paul Heyman made sure that Brock avoided until Braun won the Royal Rumble. And then that should have been their first time ever one-on-one meeting. Should have been at WrestleMania. But that's not what they decided to do.
No. They did not. But we've still gotten a lot of good TV out of it. So, hey, what you going to do?
Absolutely. Once again, They did something that really, really, I think, sparked this triple threat match. Because now it has to be a war. And just an all-out brawl, which is what it needs to be.
Oh. Yeah. There will be a lot of violence, and it should be fun.
Absolutely.
And it probably won't be terribly long.
No, probably won't be terribly long either. No, I think it'll be a sprint, and they'll throw everything but the kitchen sink, maybe even the kitchen sink into it. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So yeah, that main event scene is certainly a little more clear than what they have on SmackDown there.
Yeah, SmackDown just has the issue of they've built everything around Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and all their top baby faces have been wrestling Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for what seems like months now. So it does get to, you know, okay, where do we go for WrestleMania? Because
we have used all the feuds.
Yeah, which I guess you get into, you know, turning baby faces or doing baby face versus baby face matches, meaning either Styles versus Nakamura or Styles versus Orton, or if you want to switch up everything, do Orton versus Nakamura.
Which, that was done, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was done. Done once on an episode of SmackDown. It was a good match, but I mean, they're capable. They're certainly capable of at, at, at a longer, better match on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. They could have done more than they did that match, because I remember it not getting that much time.
Right.
So, oh, you know, I was going to talk about the comparisons, and the main event scene is definitely not a comparison situation. The one thing that I found weird was that both the new groups in the women's division both took losses this week, which I thought it was a little soon for that to happen. And I was, quite frankly, a little surprised in both cases.
Yeah, but, you know, it's what they do. It's parity booking. 50-50. No one gets too far ahead of everyone else. Unless their names are Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns or John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just wasn't a fan. Like, I suppose Ruby and, you know, I guess at least first going to tonight, Ruby Riot, I feel like she's had a singles win or a couple of them on SmackDown Live at this point. But,
probably. It would have been over Naomi, but. But yeah, you know, but now Becky's just coming back. It was a good win for Becky. I mean,
well, I guess the one thing that I did like in that match is that they played it off Ruby Riott kind of lost train of thought for a second, just like I just did. And allowed Becky to cinch in the armbar.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
she thought for a second about doing her Riot kick. So that's something that can be played off of if they want to keep that feud going.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to be keeping feuds going. such as they are in Rumble season. I mean, there's nothing really much going on in the women. Everyone's just kind of get jacking for provisions and going to the Rumble. Charlotte has no story of her own at all.
Yeah, it was good of Corey Graves to point out that she is not going to really like anyone that's in the match at the moment, because they're possibly going to be coming after her after the Women's Royal Rumble.
Right. No, that's a good point to make. Yeah. No. You know, everyone is in the Royal Rumble setting. Everyone, well, depending on the luck of the draw, has an equal chance of, you know, being the next champion. Typically, the next contender. Typically, there's not 30 people in contention for a title. And any one of them could win.
I suppose there are some favorites in the Rumble, but is it going to be Asuka? I guess.
I would say that Asuka is probably the favorite, with maybe Nia Jax being the second, being kind of the second most likely to win. I mean, that's two Raw people, so no one's getting ahead of the pack on the SmackDown side at all.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess it's one of those things that I do think that the field for the Women's Rumble is kind of wide open.
It is a pretty wide open. I mean, they haven't made any kind of announcement of a Ronda Rousey entry yet, if that's going to happen at all. They're pretty much everyone been active for the for most of the last year, means not including either of the Bella Twins, has declared themselves for the Rumble.
Right.
So it's still a pretty open field. I mean, there's still a lot of time left between Rumble and WrestleMania. They could, you could throw, especially for the Women's Rumble, you could throw a surprise in there. I mean, maybe not that surprising. I mean, like, like Becky Lynch could win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, it. It could really be a lot of women that take that home, but I would think that Asuka and Nia Jax are the kind of the clear favorites, though, out of a somewhat crowded field, I would say.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of bodies, a number of more bodies to be added. Kurt Angle was having a conversation with someone from the past on his cell phone that where the screen was completely black and not. It didn't appear to be on during that entire phone conversation.
I did not pay attention to this detail.
But no, yes, again, as you said, we know that in all likelihood, there will be people from NXT, people from the past. I can see, both Bellas making their return.
Right.
I'd hope that if Ronda Rousey's in it, that they would not have her show up as a surprise, and that they would actually, try to advertise that ahead of time. That would just make sense.
Yeah, I do believe at this time, though, that is, last I saw that was unlikely to happen at this juncture.
Yeah, supposedly she's filming a movie until February. Right? That's the last I saw of her schedule, or what she's got going on in her life. And if she's gonna do it, they can add her in later, not put her in a situation where she's gonna, come from come from nowhere and win the match and get booed for it, or have to enter and lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to avoid both of those things with her. So yeah. The timing is probably more auspicious than it is bad.
Right. Yeah, but no, it's a pretty wide open field. It's a somewhat open field in the men's, although they're being really slow in announcing the male entries, it seems.
Yeah, and I guess I just don't pay attention. It's just kind of, I just assume it's all the singles, at least all the singles competitors on the roster.
But they're just doing this whole thing where you're dragging out all these people declaring their entry. And it's like, why would anyone wait? Especially if all you have to do is just declare.
Yeah, I guess I don't think this year is really an exception for that. I have always found that really odd. It's just like, well, if you could do this at any time, just do it then. Like, why would you think, oh, maybe I won't do it this year?
I mean, let's just put it this way. Who would you say is the favorite to win the Men's Royal Rumble?
I'd assume Roman Reigns.
That's what I was hoping you would say, because he has not officially declared yet.
Well, I guess that they're kind of in an interesting spot. If he keeps the Intercontinental title, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if they just decided to keep him, as we've already been talking, away from the title picture. I mean, they could still do, since Balor Club showed up, they could do, Balor versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
They could do that.
I don't know if it'll happen, But
yeah, I don't. That's a tough match. That's a match where I know the AJ Styles match worked out well, but nobody expected AJ Styles to win that match. It was just a competitive, good, really, you know, great match. But Finn Balor, man, it's a tough match with size difference. Let's just say
that. Yeah, I've always kind of maintained that the the size difference is pretty significant. Because I mean, he's I think an announced 30 pounds lighter than AJ Styles. You know, whether it's their true weights or not, because I think Styles is like 220-something, and Balor's in the 180s, high 180s, or low 190s.
Yeah, but no, he's definitely in one of the people who's, it's possible he could win if his fortunes have changed within WWE. Yeah, it could absolutely happen. I mean, you know, if Brock's in the mood, he'll bump himself for anybody. as he proved it during the AJ Styles match. I mean,
he was sold on the greatness, and he helped deliver additional greatness. So
he's definitely. I mean, they've been trying to rebuild him. I mean, they were giving him these glorified squash wins for a while. Then they put Parton back up with Gallows and Anderson. That seems to be working. So yeah, no. I mean, obviously the whole Balor Club thing is a direct response to the continued, you know, success and mainstream recognition for the Bullet Club.
Well, and the funny thing is obviously that if they bring that same attitude that the Bullet Club has, I think that the WWE audience is going to be for it.
Yeah,
I think it's a popular thing, not just over there, but just in wrestling in general.
Yeah, and people do recognize that the three of them are at least Finn and Carl Anderson are the founding fathers of the entire Bullet Club empire. So once again, I don't think people think of it as a ripoff. I mean, it was their thing. Plus, WWE did make a big legal stink over the too sweet hand gesture, and that was all over Raw last night. So
It was even on SmackDown tonight when Shinsuke too sweeted the belt with AJ Styles. So yeah, they have been using that a lot ever since that little legal wrangling happened.
Yeah, well, you do then have to prove that you are actually using your trademark, or else. Or else you can lose it that way, so.
Yeah, well, they've been smart enough. I mean, it's something that we've been talking about it, I would feel like, for the end of the year, that Finn Balor, no matter who I've been on with, honestly, that Finn Balor's been pretty adrift. So, this gives him some direction and some kind of purpose. And Anderson and Gallows, like, I was listening to the second part of their show with Steve Austin. And I guess it's one of those things that I listen to them when they're on Jericho. I listen to them on there. I'm like, are these guys only good when they're drinking? Is that what the problem is?
at least Gallows.
So,
unfortunately, as we saw when they did Southpaw Regional Wrestling, Sex Ferguson will never ride again. It'll have to only be Tex Ferguson.
Yeah, I never did get around to watching that. But I do believe a number of people were amused by that.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they're funny guys. They certainly, unlike the first tag team we talked about on this show, they do have charisma and chemistry together. They've had a rough. I mean, it's gone on 2 years. I was almost gonna say start, but it's like it's.
Yeah, it's lurching into the second year. Because did they come over? Oh yeah, right after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, in 2016.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've almost been around 2 years. I mean, they started out, you know, because they interjected themselves right away in the main event stories with AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, and then from there, not as much. You know, they've gotten at least one or two title reigns.
Yeah, they've had a couple of them, and they keep on losing them fairly quickly.
Yeah, when we get on Raw Tag Team Championships that we're hot potatoing, you know, at the beginning of last year. Yeah, but no, I understand they're a good team. I think it's a good idea to link them with Finn. You know, if you want to take it in a heelish direction, you absolutely can. They've proven the past that they absolutely, you know, can be effective heels. So, but you know, if we just want it to be a popular babyface thing, you could make sure it sells t-shirts, you can go with that. it's a good thing. I think at least when they hit the realization that, you know, coming out of the awful Bray Wyatt feud, that And then the decision is to just have Finn be the one to be the sacrificial lamb to build Kane up. Which at least they're building Kane up for a big title match at one of the big shows. At the very least, it wasn't completely wasted. But at least they didn't just give up on Finn Balor, it seems. It feels like they figured out what was wrong with the presentation, and now they're fixing it.
Yeah, and they're only in week two of Fix, because I guess I didn't even really expect last week for the whole teaming to happen in the first place. Like, it wasn't one of those things where you could kind of read between the lines they were getting back together.
No, because Gallows and Anderson never actually had a face turn, which is just guys bouncing back and forth and having shades of gray has been somewhat of a calling card of WWE creative for the last couple of years, I guess.
Yeah, they've not been as worried about that recently. The hard baby face or the hard heel, necessarily.
Right, no. It kind of goes along with their decision to continue, you know, pushing Roman Reigns to the top guy, because, you know, he can be cheered, he can boo, you can put him against the baby face, you can put him against the heel, which I don't mind. I mean, again, you know, everything evolves, you know, including wrestling at some point.
Yeah, it, like you said, it kind of is what it is at this point.
Right, but no, as you said, it's good that, you know, they're giving Finn Balor something, it's good that they're giving Anderson and Gallows something. No, I like it so far.
Yeah, And I guess I'm trying to think of what else is happening over there on Raw. Oh, that I thought was, because I mentioned the women were comparable. There was something else, and now I'm completely brain cramping on it, so fuck it. It's been one of those shows.
Right, I don't know.
What else interesting happened on Raw since SmackDown was not not good? Have we covered all of Raw?
I think we have.
I still can't believe that the old pyramid in Memphis is now a Bass Pro Shop. That is one of the crazier things to me. But that does kind of put it in perspective how big one of those stores is that it fit in an old arena.
Yeah, yeah, they are pretty big in my experience.
So, well, yeah, I guess the only thing we could talk about is the bummer that is Samoa Joe being injured, it would seem, legitimately.
Yeah, it does seem legitimately a foot injury. No timetable on how long he'll be out or when he will be back. Horrible timing because it looked like he was just about ready to start a feud with John Cena, which would have been a pretty big deal for him if, you know, I don't know if it would have stretched all the way to WrestleMania, but even just, you know, house shows and TV and, you know, Elimination Chamber, let's just say, would have been a pretty, you know, good deal for Joe. So hopefully he still can come back for that.
Yeah, I hope that it's not that major of an injury. I believe the aforementioned Jeremy told me a 12-week time frame.
Ooh, which... that's not good this time of year.
Yeah, that
that's literally WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, so you can kind of
hope. It's on the 8th, yeah. It's literally WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, so you can hope that somehow you recover more quickly, but depending upon what the injury is exactly, like, some injuries still don't heal super quick. It just kind of takes some time.
Right, yeah, that's very unfortunate. Although at least Samoa Joe did get some good news today. He's got a role as a voice actor on a new Transformers animated series.
He really seems suited for voice acting work.
He really does. He has that loud that booming voice. I think that could be a second calling for him, which, considering his luck with injuries over the last year, it might be getting close to time for that, unfortunately.
I guess if you go down that rabbit hole, it does kind of show you that a lot of these new stars in the WWE aren't necessarily young stars. And that they may be a little more brittle than they used to be.
No, it's an aging roster. I don't even know who's under 30, really. Especially on the men's side, I really don't know who's pushed heavily. Maybe Seth Rollins.
I think he's like 29 or 30 on the button, something like that. Without looking it up.
Hitting up against that, yeah. Still hitting up against that wall, yeah. There's nothing. There's certainly no one all that young. It's definitely an aging roster. They you know, some people that they signed, you know, late in their careers. Luckily, like, AJ Styles has been very durable. I think AJ Styles is actually durable throughout his career. I don't remember any periods where he was out of TNA for any long periods either.
Oh, yeah. It certainly doesn't happen to everyone. Chris Jericho has certainly been somewhat of an Iron Man, although he certainly in the last few years has taken off copious amounts of time too.
Right. Absolutely, he has. But Chris Jericho went and had one of the best matches of his entire career at age 47 over in Japan.
We ended the show last week talking a little bit of a preview of Wrestle Kingdom. I did go out and get myself a subscription to New Japan World to watch said event. I did not get around to New Year's Dash, which I'm a little bit disappointed by. I just couldn't seem to scratch out the time, though.
That one was pretty good, but Wrestle Kingdom, absolutely, well worth going out of your way to see you if you haven't seen it yet, particularly the Chris Jericho Kenny Omega matchup. Really, really great match. a great brawl. Certainly different than anything else on the show, which is always good.
Yeah, there's a lot of quality wrestling on that program. If you you enjoy that, I'm sure if you seem to not want to pay the professional wrestlers that you enjoy watching, I'm sure that there are other alternative methods to viewing this event. Yeah, I definitely worth it. That match. That's another one that I wanted to rewatch it, and I still that's another thing that I haven't gotten back around to, just because I was watching it early in the morning, and I think I'd maybe get a better appreciation of it not trying to get ready for work and watching it, and maybe just sitting down and soaking it all in as it happens.
Yeah, no, I was up at about 5 in the morning. I started in the middle of, it was Suzuki and Goto, which looked like a really good match, and I was able to watch it all the way through, and it was. The four main matches kicked in. The four-way junior heavyweight match was an amazing spot fest. But I found myself in a situation about 24 hours later, or a day later, the next day. I should say 24 hours because I wasn't even awake the next 24 hours. Exactly 24 hours after that. So I needed my beauty sleep after that. But I found myself the next day forgetting who won. So in that regard, it's not good. That part's not good. It was certainly. I mean, it was definitely the. Maybe the most polarizing match on the show, a crazy spot fest and just a really long one at that.
Yeah, I just remember that Marty Scurll did not defend the belt. He did lose the belt. I definitely remember that much.
Yeah. Will Ospreay is the new WGP junior heavyweight champion. It's kind of an all action match at that point in the show. That's what it was supposed to be. I certainly enjoyed it while it was happening. It just so much happened, and then so much happened after it, and the three matches that followed. The show was insane. I mean, this was a 5-hour show, and I only caught the last 3 hours of it.
Well, and that's the other thing that I need. That I couldn't believe when I was rewatching the feed later in the day, because I caught Jericho and Omega, and then Okada and Naito. So I rewatched it, and I always forget that I should really just blow through the Royal Rumble that they have.
Yeah. That one was more useless than it has been in previous years. They really didn't have any good surprises that I'd recognize, like when Haku or Scott Norton would show up or anything like that. So yeah, it was
It did have a nice story at the end with a guy beating cancer, winning the match.
But
I really didn't need to watch that.
Yeah, because that then stretches it to 5.5 hours essentially.
And then the thing that caught me, actually, the first time I was rewatching it, that they keep the commercials in there. So, like, there's actually, within that 6 hours, there's just, like, basically a static screen of all their events for the year. It's just on there for, like, 30 minutes, because it's, like, the intermission after that rumble. And I was like... Oh, my feed went out.
Yeah.
I went stupid, and I was just like, oh shit. I was like, I need to restart this. So I refreshed it, and I started dragging it around, and then that's when I realized that static screen was up there for, whatever. If it wasn't a half hour, it was longer than I expected.
Right, yeah, because they start the Rumble at like an hour before the show starts, and then just have nothing going on until the opening video package.
Yeah. So that threw me off, but those couple of things might have saved me some time in viewing, and I might have slipped in a second viewing of Jericho and Omega.
Well, I
but I did catch the whole event, I guess. You know, everything told, like I got back to the Jericho Omega match in my rewatch, so I did take in the whole event.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it out of order. I mean, I watched the last half. You know, before work, then went to work and then I came home. Then I watched the last. Then I watched the first half, including the Rumble. So I've yet to see the show as it was intended to be seen from beginning to end. But no, I once again, it's always a great show. I actually did watch the. On Access TV through Sling, which I ended up paying for, even though I thought I was signing up for another free trial. That's another time for another. That's another rant for another day, maybe another podcast of some sort. But no, I did listen. I did watch it with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett on the call. I did think their commentary was better than the Japan World English commentary, but I don't feel like it added that much to the. The experience, though, too. I mean, it was so I did get my second viewing of Omega and Jericho and Okada Naito, which I think I liked Okada Naito better on the second viewing.
Oh, gotcha.
It wasn't following the 3 hours I'd already seen, and then you know, the Jericho Omega match, you know, watching that for the first time and being just blown away by how great it was.
Yeah, that one, my viewing was, you know, like I said, probably not the best. I feel like I soaked up the Naito-Okada match much better after having a little breakfast.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just really good quality wrestling, and you were correct. It's only 880 a month. For a membership there.
Yeah.
No, and it's pretty much like if you just went to the network's page straight away. Like I don't know why, but I always go through the WWE.com to get to the network. I should just bookmark the network.
Right. Yeah.
So but yeah, I mean, it's really easy to use. Like I said, like I've had a couple of times where on the WWE events, and oh, I think we even when we covered NXT, the 90-minute, did we do the 90-minute episode, or was that with Shahid?
We did that episode.
Okay, well, remember I had paused it at like the opening tag match. And then when I came back and I hit play, I was on the Louis Simmons versus who did he fight to get into the four-way match?
Who? Simmons?
Yeah.
That's you mean?
Oh,
why do I keep forgetting his name?
See, this isn't good. I forget his name, and then. You're actually not cleaning up for a change.
I'm literally.
You usually have that answer right at the tip of your tongue. This is outstanding.
The guy with the big hands.
The guy with the big hands.
Yeah, let's go with that for right now. I'm reporting on that one. But yeah, no.
Yeah, so, like, I skipped, like, when I paused it and I hit play, for whatever reason, it skipped, like, 30 minutes of the show, I guess is the point that I'm getting around to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it did it, And I've had problems like that with the WWE Network. I did the same thing because, you know, either whether I was walking my dog or had to do something else. Like, I've paused New Japan World a number of times, and then when I hit play, it just starts right back up and plays. Like, the play has been actually slightly better for me on their network.
Lars Sullivan. Yeah.
I don't know why I want to say Louis Simmons. Lars Sullivan. Just not even close. Not even close.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Louis and Lars both start with an S, L. not much of a resemblance. So, yeah. I guess I couldn't recommend it any more than I would any other good or great event for the WWE. Like, it was a lot of really good wrestling to soak up.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, New Japan, you know, possibly more than WWE for the price, just gives away the house. Because they run their tours differently than WWE. They run their house shows differently than WWE. It's not the same matches every night and in every town, or they don't run the way WWE does. They run, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and then take a short break, do another 2 or 3 weeks, then take another two or three week break.
Right.
So they pretty much put all their house shows on there. Basically, in the month of January alone, I believe they've got 5 more events that are going to be airing live. 3 with Japanese commentary, and 2 where they're going to. Two with English commentary. The 3 in the middle of the month are shows with CMLL from Mexico, where they do joint shows called Fantastica Mania shows for 3 nights in Tokyo, and then they got 2 nights of their what they call their New Beginning shows, which is their first shows after the Tokyo Dome, where. The show at which the New Year's Dash show set up all the top matches for that.
Oh, okay.
Which over the course of 3 shows, all the titles will be defended. It's basically like 3, you know, all their big matches split over 3 shows. And then underneath is everyone who are facing each other in these matches, you know, having tags basically.
Yeah. In that way, it's somewhat similar to the WWE.
I guess in that way it is similar. I mean, it's you know, for $9 or less, depending on the fluctuation of the yen, you can absolutely follow this product.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed. I think this needs said. I don't know if you've watched Ring of Honor at all within the last maybe 2 months or so.
I think maybe I've caught an episode, but then I just keep like. I just don't like the way they do TV. It's just that simple.
Well, I think they have
a house show for Ring of Honor, but I just don't enjoy. There's a disconnect with their TV and the rest of their product. There really is.
Their presentation has gotten better.
Okay.
I feel like a little bit recently, like and it's an argument that I don't feel like getting into right now, either that the whole giving people Christmas off issue, but, this year ROH was off for 2 weeks. And they actually have a new show this week.
Oh.
So, hey, if you're just going to keep it to a short, like, 2 week break and not do, like, a month plus of, not live shows like they did this past year, that's something in and of itself. And I'm like, oh, this is an improvement. I'm okay with, like, a couple of best-ofs, because I'm not paying that much attention during the holidays either.
Right.
If you want to throw a couple of best ofs with some matches that maybe hadn't aired before, cool. For those 2 weeks, and then if you're back at it this week, I'm good with that. I do think that their sets have looked a little bit better. Like, and like I said, it's a very, a fairly recent thing, like within maybe the last couple of months or so. I'm like, oh, like, it's maybe not the best thing ever, but I do think it's an improvement over what they had been doing pretty much their whole tenure on Sinclair Broadcasting. So I don't know if they're someone's putting in a little more money to the product or what the situation is, but it seems at least marginally better to me. So, yeah, I think I wanted to get that off my chest.
Well, good for Ring of Honor. I might try to check it out.
But it was one of those things that I guess I realized I liked peeking my head out of the WWE. Like, I still am definitely not ready to go back to TNA.
No, there's still... They're in their first week of tapings in the Don Callis, Scott D'Amore era, so there's another TNA relaunch happening this Thursday.
I did see that noted, so...
I might just check it out, just to see. Maybe I will.
I suppose there's a possibility, or give him a little bit of time so that you don't see the whole reboot and see where, you know, it finally gets them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, give it a month where the writing finally catches up to the new feuds that they started.
Right. Maybe I'll give him a chance. Maybe I'll turn it into something. You know, for Stunt Granny or on Twitter or something, just to make it worth my while.
Well, I think that's our week in wrestling, though. I think that covers a pretty solid week out there. So I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. And I am out of here along with Christoph.
Later.